Going back to the text that was read to us in 1 Samuel chapter 3, specifically verse 10, it reads to us, "And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening." This happens to me quite often, and maybe it happens to you in your daily lives. Let's say that we're at Crabtree Mall, and we're just shopping. And you walk along, and you see all the people who are out there, and all of a sudden, you believe that somebody has called your name. And you look around, and there's nobody that you know of. Or maybe someone's playing with you and hiding, but most of the time, we think, oh, Lord, someone called my name, and you look around, and there's nobody that you know of, or nobody at least approached you, that called your name. Or maybe sometimes you've been at a ball game, or maybe you've been even in church, and you turned around thinking someone has called you. You heard that vowel that was, or that phrase of your name that was really, really familiar, and it seemed like it was a familiar voice, and you turn around, but nobody was there. Most of the time, if you're like me, you think, well, maybe I'm on the way to Alzheimer's, getting to Alzheimer's. Maybe we're thinking we're just dreaming, or maybe we're thinking it was just something that just happened. Have you ever felt that way before? But have you ever thought, maybe it is somebody calling you? Maybe it is a voice that maybe you do not know, that is calling you into some type of further service. We find out here about the life of Samuel, here in 1 Samuel and in 2 Samuel. And we find out here that this boy Samuel was born in very, very tough times. The story starts in chapter 1, where we see that Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Penina. Now, Penina could have children, but Hannah could not. It tells that Hannah was barren. And so even when it was time to give portions, Elkanah, to both Penina and Hannah, he gave Penina more because Hannah was barren. And you can imagine back in those days, it was tough for a woman not to be able to conceive, not to mention just to be a woman back in those days was tough, period. Could you imagine what it was like for Hannah, who couldn't bear a child? First of all, being teased by Penina, telling her that she is no good. And then can you imagine among the friends of Hannah, or maybe her compatriots, that she was smiled to in front of her face but talked to her behind her back because she couldn't have a child? But you know, Hannah did not get upset, but Hannah went straight to the Lord. Hannah prayed day and night that God would bless her with a child. It got to the point where she was praying so much early in the morning when she arrived at the temple that the priest Eli had told her she must be drunk, seeing her lips move with nothing coming out. But she had told him, well, no, I am praying that the Lord may bless me with a child. And Eli told her, well, because of your faith, you will bear a child. And yet we find out that Hannah did bear a child, and she named the child Samuel. And we find out also that instead of keeping this child Samuel, she dedicated this child right back to the Lord. It was a tough time, not only for Hannah, but it was a tough time for the Israelite people, for they were going from tribal democracy to wanting a king. And so you had a succession of different prophets and priests and leaders that were leading the people, but they were not leading the people in the right way. So Samuel was born into a situation like we have now, in a sense, in America, is it not? Everybody telling their own truth. Everybody going their own way. But Samuel is in the midst, in the thick of all this that is going on, and we find out not only were things not going right for the people, and things were not going right necessarily for Hannah and her family, although it's gotten better since Samuel's been born, we find out that the priest Eli was having some problems. See, because Eli was a faithful priest to the people, but his sons Phinehas and Hophni were not. They were doing all types of stuff that was wrong in the sight of the Lord. And as you came to make an offering at the temple there, they were taking the meat and boiling it and eating it. It also finds out here in a couple of these chapters, they were having problems with some women in the temple, which I will not go into because this is a G-rated sermon. And what was happening is in the midst of all these things that were going on, the Lord had a word for Eli and his family. And basically, the Lord was going to destroy Eli's family because of their disobedience. It was a tough time for Samuel and all those who lived in Israel. But yet, as Samuel was given back to the Lord, Samuel was going to be raised as a priest as well because he was in training under Eli. You can imagine all the things that Samuel was going to learn. For Eli was a much older priest, as it says in the text, he was so old he couldn't necessarily see. And we find out that maybe when Eli was a little bit stronger, he had shared with Samuel how you wear the clothing and how you greet the people coming to the temple and how you count the money and when do you light the light of the lamp where the ark of God is. And maybe how do you bow and say the liturgy and all of the types of things. You could imagine that Samuel was taking all of this in, learning everything that he needed to know. But yet, it was on a certain night when both of them had went to bed, Eli in his place and Samuel in his place next to the ark of God, where the lamp of God had not yet gone out and where visions were not as plentiful as they were before. Samuel was about to see something and experience something he had never been through before. For we find out he had heard this voice calling his name, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel was asleep. People don't like to be woken up when they're asleep. But the text does not tell us whether this voice was loud or whether this voice was a still, soft voice. But it was recognizable and it was audible enough for Samuel to get up. And we find out he thought it was Eli. He probably was a little bit cranky. What does Eli want now? We've had a long day of training. I've dealt with a whole lot of people. I had to worship a whole lot. So let me go see what's going on. So he went to Eli and woke Eli up. Now, if you think that Samuel was upset about getting woken up, what was Eli? So Eli said, I did not call you. Go back to bed. And so he's just like us. Oh, well, I thought somebody called my name. Let me just go on back to bed. Maybe I was dreaming or something. So he went back to bed again. Same thing happened again. Samuel, Samuel. He got up, went back to Eli. Eli, what do you want? Here I am. He says, no, I did not call you. It happened a third time. Samuel, Samuel. The third time. Eli kind of figured out, now I'm not calling this boy. Maybe the Lord is calling him. Now, the interesting thing about this text, it tells us that although Samuel had spent time with Eli in this place, that Samuel had not yet known the Lord. Now, how can you be in the temple learning under Eli, not knowing about the Lord? Doesn't that seem strange to you? But I want you to keep that in mind because I got something else for you here. So we find out, although he had not heard the voice of the Lord before or experienced the Lord, Eli knew exactly what was happening. Eli told him, the next time that this voice calls you, all you have to do is say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So by this time, Samuel was probably totally perplexed. Says, okay, well, I will do what Eli wants me to do because I have learned from Eli all this time. And so he went back to bed. And when the voice had called Samuel, Samuel, he said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So he was ready to hear a word from the Lord. In order for us to hear from God, we got to be ready to hear from God. See, God speaks to us all the time. But sometimes we just hard-headed, are we not? Sometimes we hear what we want to hear. Sometimes we hear what makes us feel good. we only hear the portions that are easy to us. But see, God had a different situation for Eli. He told him what's going to happen to Eli and his family. It will tingle the ears of anybody who have heard it before. For yet I am going to destroy his lineage and his family, and there is nothing, not sacrifice or anything else, that will save him from the destruction that's going to happen to his house. Now, imagine if you have not heard a word from the Lord. And all of a sudden, you got to tell this to the person who is mentoring you throughout your life. It's like you having a mentor who brought you up through school and everything. And then God has told you to tell them something about the other person that you may not even know about. How would you feel telling your mentor some bad news? Or maybe something you had no idea they were doing. So we find out that Samuel did not want to tell Eli exactly what was happening here. He did not want to tell him what God had told him. And so the next morning, when Eli went and opened the heavy doors of the temple, and when Samuel did and saw Eli, Eli said, "What did the Lord tell you?" See, because Eli knew, maybe from his time when he was a young man, he had heard the voice of the Lord and knew that the same thing was happening to Samuel. But he also knew what was going on with his sons. And so he said, "I want you to tell me what has happened." He said, "No, I can't tell you." He says, "You better tell me, because so much is going to happen to you, and even more if you don't." And then, like everybody, he spilled the beans, didn't he not? Told him everything, what was going to happen to him. And Eli had the faith and the foresight, even in the midst of all these things, to say, "Well, if the Lord says it, so be it." Brothers and sisters, what is God calling you to listen to today? Are we like Samuel? Are we ready to go out into this world and tell somebody some bad news? Are we ready to go out into this world and confront the systems of injustice? Is God calling you and you're not hearing that maybe you should have a bigger role in the church? Is God calling you by your name for you to go out and to do something that you don't necessarily want to do? Is God calling you, but you're saying, "Oh no, it must be somebody else, Lord, not me"? Is God calling you today and you're just ignoring and running away from what God has? Because let me tell you, you can run, but you sure can't hide. Brothers and sisters, today, do we have the courage to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening"? You see, we want to leave it to other people to take care of those things in society and the world around us to make things right. But see, brothers and sisters, the Lord called you. And let me tell you this, like it is in Samuel. Just because you're in church every Sunday don't mean that you necessarily know the Lord. You could be like Samuel. You could have been raised in the church. You could know all the prayers. You could know the order of service. You could know every hymn in the blue book. You could serve on any committee of the church. But it doesn't mean that you know the Lord. It doesn't mean that the word of the Lord is going to penetrate your head, your body, your mind, and your soul. So that's why we have to be ready to listen. You see, we won't move together as a people until we listen to what God has for us. And we should not just listen to those little, how we say it. You don't have to just listen to those things that make you feel good. You see, the Lord, when the Lord speaks, everybody thinks that the Lord is going to give you just a wonderful word for somebody. But where we live today, brothers and sisters, whether it's in our families, whether it's in our committees, whether it's at our job, or whether it's at church, the Lord is speaking to you that you may confront those things that are not right, that you may continue to fight power with power. You see, many people over the years have listened. Martin Luther King Jr. had to listen. Mother Teresa had to listen. Rosa Parks had to listen. Mahatma Gandhi had to listen. Many of our brothers and sisters, our grandmothers had to listen. Sure enough, it's just like that Doritos commercial where you have one voice right here and the other voice right here. And we have to make a decision who you're going to listen to today. But let me tell you, the voice of the Lord is the one that is always calling. And it is the voice that will never let you down. If any of you in here today, if you've ever heard the voice of God within your life, you will know that it is the voice. You will not have a question about it because it is smooth. It is soothing. It is directional. It lets you know that God loves you and God cares for you. And are we ready today? But brothers and sisters, we have to be ready to listen. You know, mom used to tell us, boy, you're not listening. The teacher tells us you're not listening. And you know how we have the math problem right there, but we want to do our own thing? Boy, you're not listening. Brothers and sisters, the church today, in a lot of ways, is not listening. We are listening to what happened back in the 50s and 60s instead of going forth to what God has for us from these days forward, because we are safe just where we are. We find out, brothers and sisters, that sometimes we don't want to tell the hard things the people who need to hear it. And if we don't, people continue to suffer because we know and you know and they know, but they need to hear it. We need to tell somebody today what it's all about. If you want to be a servant of Jesus Christ, I've let you know, people will talk about you. They'll lie to you behind your back and sometimes to your face. They will stop paying money to the church. They will tell you they can't work for you. But you got to keep on going. If the Lord tells you what you got to do, you got to do it. You don't have time to think about what other people are going through, because you listen to other people. If I listened to half the people who told me I wouldn't be nothing, I wouldn't be here today. But it was not about them. It was about what God has for me and what God has for you in your life. You have to listen to what God is saying. And we have to be ready to go out there and know that God is trying to tell you something. Many of you have seen The Color Purple, the adaptation of Alice Walker's novel. And you know that Shug Avery had left Harpo's juke joint on her way to church, which is passed by her estranged father. And while she was making her way through the cotton field, she was accompanied by the choir singing on their way to the church. Maybe God's trying to tell you something. The implication here is that in trying times, back in Samuel's day and even in our day, it is important to listen for the lesson and hear the voice of God within it. Brothers and sisters, we have a task today to listen to the voice of God. Now, you can listen to the rappers. You can listen to what's on CNN. You can listen to what's on Fox. You can listen to all the gospel that's going on in the world. But the most important thing you need to listen to today is the word of God. Where is God directing you? Where is God speaking to you in your life? And how are you able to take that and tell somebody what it's all about? Today, brothers and sisters, maybe God is trying to tell you something. But the secret is, will you be open enough to listen to what God has for you in your life? Amen.
Amen.